Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostics comes in with their True Age Test. You can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my True Age Test, and I'm super excited to see what it reveals about my health. For me, it's all about what we can do to start reverse aging, for my health, for my well-being, and this is my starting point. The test is like a health roadmap that shows exactly where your body stands and what you can do to improve. That's what this test gives you. And one of the other cool things is True Diagnostic is part of the Rejuvenation Olympics, where people compete to lower their biological age. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using code CLINK at checkout. That's True Diagnostic. TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com at checkout. Just use the code CLINK and save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 20% discount. Discover your true age today. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How's it?
Oh, it's... Is it the last day of February when this is dropping?
Oh, it's President's Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not the last day of February. It's a week before.
You know.
It's President's Day. Happy President's Day.
Yeah.
It's one of those, you know, those Mondays that we all get off and we don't know what to do with our kids because it's February.
I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be driving home, taking a long drive with my husband, and he's going to be bitching about it. That's what I'm doing right now as you're listening to this.
And listening to your own podcast to make sure all the stuff.
Oh, everything got great. Put together. Yeah, totally. Let me tell you what I did today because I did something exciting.
You did?
I did. Because, you know, the gym is exciting because I put it on my list of to-dos. I talk about it, but I don't really go. Ever.
Sometimes. Isn't that like how we always do? I mean, I'm in gym attire at the moment.
Thinking all the time.
Maybe I could get there.
Maybe. So today I did a spin class, which is really good for me because, you know, unless I like fall off the bike, you know, like you don't really need any coordination to do that.
Yeah.
So it's working for me. But I was thinking the whole time about, I just want to create my own spin class because I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate sweating. I hate
the music. I hate the instructor that is like, what's your why, people? Oh. Can you feel this? Woohoo! Like, I hate all that shit.
You and I are so opposite.
I know. You love all the hoorah. I know. I'm surprised you don't like join an MLM or something and like sell something.
I almost started an MLM once.
Yeah.
I should have done that.
Yeah. You're great at the hoorah. I just want to be like, if I didn't have to exercise on the bike, I just want to be like, listen, if you guys just speed it up a little bit more, you can have a hamburger with the bun. Now, we all know lettuce wrapped doesn't suck, but how good would it be to eat the bun tonight, people?
You should actually be an instructor. You should be the instructor. I think you would get a lot of people going to see you.
Oh, my God. If I had an instructor like that, and can you please just play some good effing music? I don't want to hear the bop, 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 bop. No, I don't. Did we not learn anything from the Super Bowl halftime show this year?
We did. Even my husband was like, if you played this at tennis, I'd go.
Hello. I want to hear. I'm here for all of it. Play me some Eminem, Mary J. Old school Tupac is my favorite.
I know. Me too. Yeah, I agree. Especially at Lifetime where you go. You know, all those ladies would love that kind of music.
They would. And can I just say, I also, all those women that can just wear a sports bra and the pants while they're leaning over so you know you have like five rolls, but they don't have any.
I know.
I hate you.
She doesn't really hate you. If that's you, she's really just envious of you.
Yeah.
I had something funny happen. So I am in charge of a class auction basket. Okay. So the kids' classroom gets a donations of all this stuff. And then we auction it off at some event. So I sent out a note and one of the moms texts me and she says, you know, I'd like to just give you $40 to just buy whatever you need for the basket. I was like, perfect.
I would be that mom. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Easy peasy. Easy for me. I'll just order it on Amazon, whatever. So she says she's going to send it. Okay. Days go by. I'm not like keeping track. So Colton, who it's the basket for, he asked me, it's book fair, you know? He says, Mom, it's the second to last day of book fair. And I need some money. I said, how much have you already spent at the book fair? How much did Dad give you? He's like, well, Dad gave me $40. And
oh, hell, Colton.
I know. No, listen to this. Then he goes, and Nina's mom gave me $40 also. I was like, Colton, Nina's mom did not give you $40 for the book fair.
Oh, my God. Colton, you are cut off, kid.
I was like, you spent $80 at the book fair? No more.
No more. Oh my gosh. He must have come home with a library.
You would think.
Probably came home with like five bookmarks, two pencils, and one book that is at grade level. Because the book fair is a rip.
And posters. These posters. They get them with the posters, you know. Oh, got all this stuff. So anyways, Nina's mom texted me later and said, I just want to make sure you got the money. I said, oh, funny story. Colton got the money.
Yeah.
But don't you worry. I'm buying $40 worth of stuff for the basket.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy President's Day, people. Should we get to it?
We should.
Today's case is listener suggestion from Elizabeth Durrington. This is the case of Catherine Knight, and I am so happy to do this case because we have quite a few Aussie listeners, and this case takes place down under.
Right. I remember you telling me that.
So this one's for all y'all Aussies. Okay. I mean, I feel like Tab and I are kind of honorary Aussies because if you've been listening for a while, you know, we used to work at the Outback Steakhouse. So, you know, we know like the names of all the cities because that's what you know, menu items are named after.
That's right. And uh-huh. the blokes, the big blokes.
Sure. Sheila's says uh-huh. it on the bathroom door.
Yep.
Right. Melbourne, Queensland, Brisbane. We're with it. We know the
Brisbane shrimp.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Good day. So this case is pretty infamous in Australia. And so for those Aussies that are familiar with Catherine Knight, I think they would probably agree with me that while I normally advise snacking anytime, you might want to wrap it up before I get halfway through this one because it's on the totally fucking disgusting side. So consider yourself warned.
No, it's graphic.
Yeah. So, okay.
So. These are not your normal jams.
No, I don't know what came over me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Catherine Knight grew up in Aberdeen, Australia. Aberdeen is a small town in the New South Wales area. In 2016, the population was around 1,800. And the time period of the story I'm about to tell you was in 2000. So, you know, give or take, it was still a small town then. Okay. Catherine grew up there along with her twin sister and two brothers. She had a hell of a childhood. Physical and sexual abuse, which has been confirmed by her family members. And so I'm sure that contributed to the person that she grew up to be, which was pretty rough around the edges. I also have just never met an Aussie lady that wasn't like a badass. So I think they just like breed them quick-witted and feisty over there. I like it.
Funny. And the accent helps, you know?
It does. Yeah, I'm with it. Okay. But I don't think we would have been friends with Catherine. She was a little too feisty. Like, she's really into knives and other shit that I find to be, like, a friend turnoff.
Like, she kind of, like, does she spin the knives? Like, throws them up in the air? That kind of thing?
Yeah, all kinds of shit like that. And she was known to bully children younger than her in school. At one point, she actually pulled a knife on a teacher.
Whoa, okay.
She's extra. Yeah. Okay. So subsequently, she dropped out of school at 15 because school wasn't really working for her. So that was all the precursor to her being the kind of woman that started fights in bars, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had quite the reputation in town for doing as much, and she also had red hair. So she kind of lived up to that stereotype about redheads running a little hot. So you didn't want to mess with her. Men did mess with her, though. You know what they say. A little crazy is a turn on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To some.
And yeah, to some. And men are, you know, a lot of them, very simple creatures. Okay. Right. Feed them.
What does Dr. Laura say?
They're good.
Feed them.
Do them.
Love them.
Yeah.
Do them. Done.
That's it. Okay.
Okay.
So one Mr. David Kellett was so turned on by Catherine's crazy that he married it being Catherine. Catherine was 19. Okay. Well, maybe some people did it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm quick-witted
okay,
too.
You are. Okay.
Just like Catherine.
Well, Catherine was 19 in 1974 when she married David. The story goes that on the day of their ceremony, David was heavily intoxicated. So Catherine drove them there on her motorcycle. And Catherine's mama had some words of advice that day for David. She told him, I quote, "You better watch out. She'll fucking kill you. You do the wrong thing and you're fucked." I should have said that in an Aussie accent.
Yeah, you should have. Try again.
Okay. Oh, I don't think I could do it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Well, you can't do it justice.
I can't do it justice. Okay. I'm sure it was good, though. Well, it didn't take long for David to see what Catherine's mama was talking about. On their wedding night, Catherine had it in her head that they needed to brown chicken, brown cow, no less than 6 times.
Oh my God. Wow, Catherine.
Catherine. Really, that's very ambitious. Okay, well, David was not up for the challenge, and he only performed the sex 3 times.
Oh my God. And David, what
David,
the
David,
heck?
David, come on. I mean,
if any guy is listening here, he is like, David.
Come on.
If my wife would only have it once.
Well, he had a lot to drink, too. So, you know, right? Poor yeah. David. I think 3 times is a valiant effort. Okay. Well, he fell asleep after that, the 3 times, and he awoke to her trying to strangle him.
Oh.
She was infuriated. She wanted the six sticks. Yeah. So he did not leave Catherine after that incident. He actually stuck around long enough to make Catherine the mother of his children. I mean, I think I might have walked away if you tried to kill me on our wedding night.
I mean, that might be a big red flag. I thought you were going to say you stuck around long enough to get like a Viagra.
I think, you know, you can get that shit in old like Brittany and that husband did in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even count. I think it's like, we're out. Okay. Well, you know, they stayed married and it was eventful to say the least. There was a lot of domestic abuse and Catherine was the abuser. On one occasion, she fractured his skull, hitting him with a frying pan.
Yikes.
That's a lot. Okay, so he did leave her periodically, but they were like back and forth. After Catherine left her 2-month-old daughter on the railroad tracks, by the way, thankfully the baby was saved in time, Catherine was put in a psychiatric hospital, which obviously she needed.
Good.
Right? Yeah. Can you imagine? Okay. After she was released, though, the violent incidents still continued and she would be readmitted to the hospital, but she never seemed to get better. At one point, David left Catherine and got himself a girlfriend in Queensland. Well, Catherine was not with that at all. She ended up slashing a woman's face in the process of carjacking her in an attempt to get to Queensland, where she had intended to kill David. But she was stopped by the police while the woman she had carjacked got away from her at a service station. So after that happened, David broke it off with the Queensland girlfriend and moved back along with his mother to the Aberdeen area to look after Catherine. I mean, what are you going to do?
He's pretty devout in the marriage, even though, I mean, he had a girlfriend.
I think he wanted to look after his kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a period of time, Catherine did seem more stable. And what is credited with her stability at that point in her life was when she got a job at the local abattoir, which is another name for slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouse was the main source of employment in Aberdeen, but Catherine had to do some convincing to get them to hire her on account of she was a woman. So sexist, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, after she started working there, she befriended the old man whose actual job was the killing of the pigs. He would let her watch, even sometimes slowing down the process so they could watch together as the pigs endured an extra torturous ending of their lives.
I hate that.
Oh, it's some real twisted shit. Yeah. Don't like that at all.
No, I hate that extra.
Yeah. Yeah, extra. Well, Catherine's job, butchering the carcasses, was her jam. Like I told you, she had a real thing for knives. She even decorated her house with them, as well as like small, you know, stuffed, like taxidermy stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Her style was like real.
This is a real extra case here, Gretchy.
Oh,
I can just
it is.
See where
oh,
this is going.
Tabby, we're just getting started. Okay. Buckle up, boo. Okay. She was into some like real freaky, macabre, chic. That was her decor. Okay. I've seen pictures, except it wasn't chic at all. It was just freaky and macabre. So, I mean, like the scene of a horror story just walking in. Okay. In 1984, Catherine finally left David for good and continued to work at the slaughterhouse and live in her little freak show house. But she injured herself, and so she had to quit her job. But she didn't have to move because I guess the government subsidized her housing costs now that she was on disability. Well, okay. Fast forward to 1986, she managed to get another boo. A man by the name of David Saunders. Their relationship was unsurprisingly tumultuous. Catherine slit the throat of the man's 2-month-old puppy so that he would know what would happen to him if he ever thought about cheating.
Did he stay with her?
Well, I'll tell you. A year later, they welcomed Catherine's third child.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Right?
Wonderful.
Yes. Okay. Well, the new baby didn't exactly bring the couple together. There was an incident where Catherine hit David in the head with an iron and then stabbed him in the stomach with some scissors. Now, you might think that this would result in Catherine getting locked up, which would seem logical to me, but that's not what happened. What happened was David went into hiding for some months and then showed up when he just desperately wanted to see his daughter. And that's when he learned that Catherine had taken herself to the police and twisted the events. So now there was actually an order of protection against David now. So, you know, she worked the system. Okay. In 1990, Catherine began a fresh new relationship with a man named John Chillingsworth. The relationship lasted for 3 years and resulted in Catherine's fourth child.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. And it's all her children with her this entire time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it ended when he discovered Catherine was having an affair with a man named John Price. People call him Pricey. John Price was a father of three. His 2-year-old daughter lived with his ex, but his 2 older daughters lived with him. John was known around town as an all-around good guy. I mean, they called him Pricey. That sounds like a nice guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure what possessed him to get involved with Catherine because, you know, her reputation preceded her. And so he knew all about her shenanigans.
Yeah.
I read that there were only 2 bars in town. One was in a hotel, and the other one was like a dive bar. It's called Tui's, which I think is like an awesome dive bar name.
It's called what?
Tui's.
Chewy's?
Tui's.
Oh, Tui's. Okay.
Okay. And after John got with Catherine, he wasn't welcome at either. That's a big deal in a 2-bar town. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most everything social is happening. So John lost his BFF blokes because, like, just like in Catherine's past relationships, there was a lot of back and forth, and his friends were not down with the drama.
Do you have a child that is struggling with a topic at school? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Maybe your child is like mine and has a hard time asking for help in class. And when I try to help after school, it can take forever trying to get to the point of the concept she's just not grasping so she can move on. IXL is a huge help with this because of the way it's designed. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. And research shows kids that use IXL score higher on tests and improve their grades. It will work for any of your kids because it's powered by advanced algorithms. So IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter matter their age or personality. And with one subscription, you get everything. One site for all the kids in your home from pre-K to 12th grade. And it's such a super value. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Listeners, you know I'm all in for some self-reflection and rethinking how I can make an impact. That's why I love Blueland. Blueland products are not just about tidying up, but about a cleaner, greener lifestyle by reducing plastic use. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Blueland products are independently tested to perform alongside major brands and are free from dyes, bleached, and harsh chemicals. Blueland is a great value with refills starting at just $2.25. Tab and I love using Blueland in our homes to clean anything and everything from cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets. Blueland is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine and Tab's. Blueland has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clink to get 15% off.
So John had a really good job. He worked as a miner. That was like the other big source of employment in the area. And he made a really good living. One of the things that was the final straw for people close to John was that Catherine got him fired from his job. He had come home too late one night or something, and Catherine got her video camera out and filmed a first aid kit that she thought John had stolen from his work, and she sent it to his boss. In reality, it was outdated, and he had just gotten it from a garbage pile, but it still got him fired. I mean, that's extra.
That is extra.
You know what it reminds me of? Have you heard this song? I'm a petty ass bitch, don't try me. I'm a petty ass bitch, don't try me. I'll send screenshots to your mommy.
Where'd you hear that on? One of those reality shows?
No, Jeff Lewis plays it on his
That's a reality show in itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good jam, okay? Catherine is a petty-ass bitch. Don't try her, okay? Okay, anyways, so John gave Catherine the boot after that, but for only 3 months. And then he took her back. After John took her back, things escalated. Catherine assaulted John repeatedly, but he had a hard time getting her out of his house. She just wouldn't leave. And by the way, she still had her freaky little apartment down the street. So it's not like she didn't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can put together, I think at the time it appears that like the powers that be just didn't recognize a woman as being as dangerous as a man. Therefore, when authorities were called to one of John and Catherine's scenes, Catherine was just able to turn it around on John and they would just side with her.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah.
I can still see that happening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's true, because it usually the woman is not the abuser. Well, it got to the point where John was legit in fear for his life. He told his friend, if you see my car in the driveway in the morning, that means I didn't make it to work and she's done me in. And she did just that. All of the children were thankfully sleeping over at friends' houses, and so Catherine put on some new black lingerie and seduced John. After he fell asleep, she pounced, stabbing him to death. So ominously, the next morning, John's car was still in the driveway and he didn't show up for work, like he said. And so a coworker was sent to check up on him. But when he could see blood on the door, he called the police. The police arrived on the scene and broke in the back door because it was obviously a dire situation at this point. The first officer in saw what he thought was a blanket hanging, and so he pushed it to the side to make his way through the room and felt chills as he realized what he thought was a blanket wasn't a blanket at all. He now had blood running down his arm because what was hanging in the room was John. Catherine had skinned him and hung him from a meat hook.
Dude, she is gnarly.
Dude, it is so gnarly that when they did the autopsy, they were able to like put him back together.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. John's head was in a pot on the stove.
Oh.
She had cooked up his sliced butt in the oven and ceremoniously placed the meat of John on dinner plates along with cabbage, yellow squashed, baked potato, and gravy, and left name cards with John's children's names on them.
She's awful.
I mean, hell. That is like, that is a new kind of wrong we have not come across before on this podcast.
No, we have not. That is like the worst. Mm-hmm.
Well, Catherine gave the meat a taste for herself, but she couldn't get it down.
How do you know this?
Because the chewed up remnants of the meat were found in the sink.
Oh my God, I'm going to puke.
I told you. I warned you. I mean, I think spitting out John was like the sanest thing Catherine had done to date. Okay.
Oh God.
Anyway, so you can imagine the officers on the scene are just mind blown because they have seen crazy
shit. They're
also shit,
like but, puking in their mouth.
Of course, but this is so next level, okay? Then they get to the bedroom and they find Catherine without a scratch on her, taking a snooze. She had taken some sleeping pills and it's not clear if she was trying to overdose or what, but she didn't. So they were able to arrest her. They were able to use blood evidence to retrace the scene of what happened. They found the black lingerie on the floor and found spermatozoa on it. And they found a, you know, I love that word.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
But that's a legal word. That's really a thing. Okay. And they found a trail of blood where it appeared he had made an attempt to get away from her. But there was a large pool of blood left from where he had bled out after being stabbed 38 times.
Overkill,
Catherine. Okay. She was questioned and she pulled her familiar routine of saying that, in fact, she was the one that was abused, and if she had hurt John, it was only because of all of the trauma she had suffered at his hands. She said, oh, I must have gone mad. Well, the detectives, like, real mad, Catherine. I mean, you skinned him.
Like, I mean, that's...
That's a lot.
Did she act like she didn't know what he she did to him?
Yeah. She was like, maybe. Okay, well, okay. The detectives decided to take a look-see into her background. And that's when they started seeking out her exes, who obviously all had horror stories about their time with her. So, like I said, she had sort of admitted that she killed John. Like, I mean, she's like, I'm not ruling it out, but she did one of those. Okay.
It's possible.
Yeah. And she said that on tape. but she still decided to go to trial and plead innocent. I mean, that's a little surprising, right? Okay, now let me tell you something I'll bet you didn't know about the courts down under. It's not as common anymore, but in some courts, still the judges wear wigs.
No.
You know the big white ones with like the curls?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was curious after I saw the judge that presided over Catherine's trial wearing one.
Is this to, so their identity is, you know, like to mask their identity?
No, I mean, from what I read, they say, like, don't hate on the wigs. It's just like your judges wear robes. But I'm sorry. I'm glad it's kind of on the outs. I don't like them. I think they're ridiculous.
What, the robes or the wigs or both?
The wigs.
Okay. And the robes.
It just seems...
Although, I kind of like the robe. It gives like a look.
No, I like the robes. Yes. Plus the judges, you know, like Judy, you know, she wears the little curly one. Like they give it their own little flair. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they are important AF when they walk in the robe. Okay?
Right.
No, I think the wigs are ridiculous. Sorry. Okay. Anyways, midway through the trial, Catherine decided to change her plea to guilty. And which good call, Catherine.
You're right.
She was sentenced to life in prison at the Silverton Women's Correctional Facility in New South Wales. I read a book about Catherine called Man Eater. And the author, Ryan Green, says she has a unique role at the facility. All of the women are scared shitless of her. And so she's become kind of the presiding judge over inmate disputes. Like, if Catherine says that it goes, that's the way it is.
It goes?
That's it. She's, like, more in charge than the warden. She is also the only inmate without a cellie, you know, like a cell roomie.
Uh-huh.
Because they found it is just too dangerous to put someone else in there with her. Which, I agree. Right?
Mm-hmm. I do, too. She might eat them.
That's right. Okay, so remember, Catherine has a twin sister.
Right.
Who is lucky, I think, because being twins, they have the same DNA. And so Catherine could have, like, totally framed her if she had, you know, thunk of that in advance, I think. Right? Mm-hmm. Clearly, she's twisted enough to pull a plot like that. Well, anyways, the sister visits her in prison. She's like the only visitor she gets. I think
that's not surprising.
No. In 2006, she tried to get Catherine's case appealed on the basis that, after all, she's only committed one murder, guys. Life is a little extra. That's what she said. Yeah. It was an extra bad murder, though, Catherine's twin sister. So thankfully, that appeal didn't change Catherine's locked up status. I found an article that one of Catherine's brothers served time for abusing young boys. So, I mean, that's awful, right? Her children don't have anything to do with her and distance themselves from the whole thing. I mean, fuck, who can blame them, right?
God.
There have been a few times where John Price's children have given interviews and they just say how terrible she was and still is because she's never shown any remorse or apologized.
It doesn't seem like she's sorry at all. I mean, she did a heinous crime.
Oh, yeah. Lastly, I just wanted to mention that it was such a horrific scene that some of the police officers that were there went years without eating meat.
Oh, because they were so horrified.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Wowzers, dude. Wowzers. That is some freaky, freaky stuff. I don't think there's a lot of people like that out there.
I don't think there's a lot of people like that out there. And especially ladies.
I just hope in general.
Well, in general, for sure.
In general, I would hope that there are very few, if any, left in the world that have a desire to eat a human or even try it.
Yes. You know, I mean, ugh.
Ugh. That's right.
Is right. I am actually impressed, though, that she had multiple vegetables on the plates, though. I mean, cabbage, yellow squash, and she made gravy and potato.
So I'm actually pretty surprised about that, too, because it takes a lot for me to even get one vegetable on the plate.
Ain't that the truth?
It really is. It's unfortunate. I'm telling
you. And sometimes I'm like, you know, last night I made the kids pizza and I was like, I should really cook up some broccoli. You know, I always have like a bag of frozen broccoli and I'm just like, who am I kidding? No one's going to eat
it. Yeah, they're not going to eat it anyways.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Word.
I mean, I do carrot sticks most of the days because I'll know they will eat carrot sticks as long as they're not cooked. But I'm hopeful that my kids' palates will expand once they grow up.
They have to.
My friend, when you know who I'm talking about, she used to only eat chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese when we first met her. Mm-hmm. And now she eats California rolls. So, I mean, she's getting a little better.
Yeah, I don't know that that's that much of a stretch, but okay.
It's pretty good. If my one child eats a California roll eventually in his life, I'll think that's a win.
You know what? I have one kid that will eat pretty much anything unless it's spicy. And the other two won't eat anything. And I just think so much. If I only had her, I would be so judgy of other parents. Because I know 100%. Parents are so judgy of me.
100%. Yeah. If I only had Kyla, who eats everything, so easygoing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing about having a kid with special needs, too. People are always like, oh, yeah, no problem. School, easy. Third grade, easy, right? It's like, oh, because you don't have to sit and do all the homework with them. You're one of those parents where you just get to like hand them the worksheet. Yeah, that is easy. You're right.
I know. With Kyla, that's thank God she is so just on it because I have to sit with Caden and it takes just for him to write a sentence, man. It is so difficult. And now that he can communicate a little bit better, his dyslexia is like, he tells me, he's like, Mom, so weird. I just looked at that same exact word and I saw an 8 and now I see an A. It's like, how does that happen? My brain's playing tricks on me.
That's cool though that he knows.
Yeah, it's kind of weird though. It's like, oh, that's interesting also.
And you know, the teacher assigned so much reading and I'm pretty convinced that none of these parents are sitting down and reading for a half hour with their kid every night. Don't you think?
I just don't know how you do it. Because you have, you know, by the time you get them home from school and you do the homework and you have a sport.
You're done.
And you have dinner.
And a bath.
You're pretty.
Shower.
You're done. Oh, I mean, please, if I can get a shower in a couple times a week for my kids, I'm winning.
Yeah, totally. My kids are at the point the my girls, the my girls can take a shower without me having to like.
Turn it on.
Shampoo or, yeah, they like do it all now. That is like a woohoo.
Yeah. Goals. Thankfully, all my kids shower, even the one that couldn't turn it on for 9 years of his life, is now showering by himself and not needing any help, which is definitely a lifesaver. But yeah, you know, those children.
They're a drag. Don't have them.
They're so wonderfully challenging. I'll just tell you that.
My husband just texted me. So we were supposed to go to Hawaii, but, you know, the kid broke his arm and Southwest is having this crazy sale. And he just texted me, can you imagine if we didn't have kids? We would look at how cheap everything is. We would already be in Hawaii. I'm like, if only.
Should I look? What about Dallas? How much is it to come here? Book your ticket now.
We're going to the aquarium, Monterey. And you're not even going to be there this weekend.
Not for this weekend, but for like if they're having a sale for the summer, book it now.
I'm coming to Dallas, whether it's on sale or not this summer.
I know.
So just deal with it.
Okay. Okay. So guys, what I do need to ask of you is please tell your friends about us. I promise we appreciate it. And we see it in the numbers. So we would love for you to just tell two friends. It's real easy. Just be like, you listen to podcasts? Oh, I have a really good one. You're going to like it. And if you don't mind giving us a review on Apple or wherever you guys listen, that would be really great. We got some really nice ones lately that just made my heart really full. From Scarlett in the Dallas suburbs. That's a really cute name, by the way, Scarlett. Logie, Payaz. You guys, these names on, I wonder what my name is on my Apple thing. Do you know what yours is? It's like some Gretchy Betchy.
Gretchy Mac.
Oh, Gretchy Mac. Mm-hmm. The Gurig Shelms Ram.
Because Shelms, I'm not shady. I don't try and disguise myself, by the way.
Yeah. This one is cute. It's Bridget, but Bridget, the T is with the money sign. That's cute. Crystal Rose. Anyways, you guys, thank you so much for doing that. If you want to hear more of us, please, please, please join Patreon. It's at patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. There are 4 or 5 extra episodes a month and one bonus. And if you guys, bonus crime, if you guys like to listen to just the crimes, every month there's one and it will say bonus crime before the title. And if you want to just listen to us talk about current events and life, those are the other 3 days. And it is $4.99 a month. And we do talk a lot. So you'll get your money's worth, I promise you. And follow us on Housewives, a True Crime group on Facebook and, you know, all the other social media places we're there. Thank you so very much for listening.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.